Start recording. Thank you, Zoom. Welcome to the 2nd of June. I can't believe it's June already. Aries Bifold user group call. Have a couple of things to note. Note the antitrust policy and the code of conduct. So trying to create a good and open space for us to work and collaborate and do cool stuff. So keep that in mind. Start off with, if anybody is new, you're welcome to, would love to hear from you. I'm not sure if I see anybody new today. If you are old and would like to reintroduce yourself, that is also welcome.
Nah, I'm good.
Awesome. Not too many new announcements from last time. In terms of deployments and work updates, I haven't done any updates on AFJ here. Timo, do you think there's anything relevant that we should voice here from the AFJ side of things?
Nothing comes to mind, so maybe, but probably not a big thing because then I would have remembered it.
Awesome. Cool. I don't have too much on the agenda today. Going to tackle some of the state management discussion and sync up a little bit on that. Have a couple of questions on generic storage and figured it would be a good idea to sync up on the shared components. So I just have a couple of items that I've put on the agenda. Are there other things that we should talk about or we'd like to add to today's agenda? Awesome. Figure start with code status. There was a request that we do a demo of how to set up and work with Akapai and get things rolling there. And as I was setting up and preparing for that demo, I ran into the same error that he is having here. So, which is good because I can recreate the problem. The downside there is that there is an error. So there's a problem in terms of how mediation is occurring and we're running into this issue. It's potentially likely how we're doing the transport polling mechanism right now. So potentially insight on this from the AFJ side could be helpful, and or Timo, do you think that, or Kareem, if we're at a point where we can do imports on the polling side of things as well? I think Adam may have actually been doing some transport stuff as part of the mediation work he's been doing.
Yeah, it's the error that did it came up immediately or after a while?
After a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's ngrok has like a limit on the polling. And so if you stress it too much, it will error out because you just need to pay. I think that
some weird JSON error, right? I think you always get like a crazy JSON error.
It is manifesting itself. This is what it appears as, and if you dismiss it, it will just pop up again. And
I think it's the problem with the ngrok.
I don't like. I never had something like this.
Huh?
No, it usually says the fail to parse JSON and then gives me some weird like token stuff, but yeah, I don't know. Ngrok.
Actually, that definitely sounds very plausible, Timo, because
Go ahead.
Indicio has we launched a AFJ mediators. We weren't actually utilizing ngrok for most of our development, and so that is actually very plausible of what's happening here. So I wonder, I should double check. We might actually be pulling at 2000, which may be breaking the limits on ngrok, which could cause this issue. I would love if we could surface an error more effectively, but I think we're working on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's very helpful and actually gives something that I think we can dig into and or resolve, troubleshoot. cool. So I will look to address that issue and in the future do some kind of demo or video to address the other requests there. I wanted to sync up on the state management stuff, how that was going. Neil had pushed up a branch doing a separate package. And then Krim, you were running with that and wanted to hear where you got to with that.
Yeah, I have been. I have started with connection slice and trying to figure out with a lot of help of Timo, which I'm super grateful for. I've had to organize everything. I just pushed it to a separate branch because it's still a bit. I have some test code in between, but yeah, you can view it, or I can share my screen, whatever you prefer. But it's on GitHub anyway.
Sweet. Well, give us a brief look. I think that would be
a little look-see. I will. I guess it is this. I need to unmute myself. That's better. Let me see. So what I did is we have a Ben. Which still. I did a connection, so we have a slices folder with different little. We can dump connections and credentials and whatever in it later. But the most important thing is, I think, the slice itself. So here we have the initial state for the connection slice, or how it looks. So the interface for the state below the actual initial state. And then a good old slice with the initial state right there, a simple reducer, which is just has nothing to do with AFJ directly, but it's just something to push or update. Might want to separate those out, but I wasn't sure yet.
But was that intended for the internal use of updating the state from AFJ or external use to update
state? No, this is the redux state. So we have an array, and you can push something into that array via this reducer, and all the direct really AFJ things are done in this little file, the thunks. Those are basically all the async thunks we talked about last time. Mm-hmm. I modified, let me see what that thing is, utils, and modified. this is a function. So you have to create async thunk function from Redux, and this is a little bit of a thunky funky modification of it. So you have the agent set in the, you have the thunk API somewhere here, and you can use that in those thunks. So here, let's say, take a simple one, you pass in an async function, and you have this thunk API, and what that create async agent thunk function does is it makes sure the agent is available through the thunk API. So basically repeat that for all the calls you want. For instance, get all. So yeah, here you give the path or whatever, I don't know how they call it. And you return, you get it async and then you return it. And that means that in the slice itself, this is a bit of a weird thing, but you can find it in the Redux docs anyway, but just make sure you keep typing instead of doing it on the classic way. and so here we have like fetch all connections. That was how this one is called. So this is that one, and you handle it here. So here you have a pending. So what do you want to do when we're still fetching it? Well, we want to, you know, set a loader on true. What do you want if it gets rejected? Well, we want to like put the error into the state. And what do you do when it is actually fulfilled or successful? And we return the get all response here, and that is what you handle here. So in action.payload becomes that return value, and here we are pushing that into the state itself. And yeah, the rest of it is basically the same joke over and over. Yeah, huh? I have, sorry, go ahead.
I just said awesome.
awesome. Well, that is good to hear. I haven't done all of them. I think I've done like received the most important ones, but I've struggled with a few because if we so if we look down here, like find by IDs, that kind of stuff, I don't know, getter methods, if we want to implement those right now in like, maybe try to keep it simple now and do that later on. But as Tima pointed out to me, which he is completely right, I think, is at some point, if you're going to have like 2 gazillion connections, you might want to do some pagination, and then you might want to have this and push it, like retrieve it from the actual, from the agent itself, and then push it into like first. So let's say find by Furky, first check, do I have it in the state already? And if not, get it from the agent and push it into the state.
Yep.
And yeah, return when it's connected was a, I have a headache. I don't think, I'm not sure what to do with that. But yeah, so that is the basic structure. And there is one more thing here. Yeah, so I created a function where you can pass in the store and the agent. And this is then a start connection listening, and it will listen for state changed events and then use that add or update function to actually update the state. So it will stay updated whenever an event listener is running. It is still quite messy. I've still the counter thing in here, and so I will try to clean it up a bit and then push it into the actual branch so we can go on.
Cool.
So status update out.
Awesome. Question on the you're passing the agent. Is the intention that you do the agent.init and then pass it to the connection?
That's a good one. Because I didn't show you the store. So this Well, there's two things about that. One is I thought firstly, let's make a cool function that does everything. So a initialized store thingy, which actually initializes the store. But let me see. What is the create agents? Agents. Yeah, also this is in here. Agent test is just because I was testing it with Node.js because I didn't want to go through all the, so I have, yeah, it's a bit of a messy stuff. I've copied some stuff over from here and there, but we I want to keep it in for now because it makes testing a lot easier, but we can, I don't know, squash that out later on, I guess. Let me see. Create agent, I think, gives, yeah, it returns it not initialized. Yeah, so we have this. Is that the right one? Or am I looking at it? Anyway, what it does, yeah, here it runs in it. So we have a, it's actually a store operation. So you pass it in uninitialized. And then if something gets rejected, which we have, now I don't know where I, too many things open. Let me see where that is. We have a thing that checks in middleware, I guess, that checks like, was it initialized, yes or no? And if it's not initialized, it will reject reject whatever you're trying to do. So if you're trying to do a get all, for instance, it will reject that thing and will tell you, hey, you have to first dispatch the initialize the initialized thingy. Ah, that must be the agent slice. Yeah, I think that was it. Slices agent. Okay, I'm lost in translation right now because it's not the cleanest of all. But anyway, so it does a check. Is this initialized before every call you do? And if not, it will tell you, hey, you're not initialized. Dispatch initialize agent.
Awesome. Other questions for Karim? Is there, I guess the next steps, you outlined a couple of things you're going to clean up. Would it be good to start working on other slices, or is it still, do we want to try and still focus on, like, is there?
No, I think like the things I'm was like refactoring or struggling with, because I'm not a front end dude, was more like classic, I guess, Redux stuff, like how do you separate loaders, and Timo helped me a bit with that. But I think the initial, like the setup in terms of how do we get the agent and all that kind of stuff, and the right, well, the initialization and stuff and reject it, that is all set up. So I think if I clean this up and I push that out, yeah, we can start building out other slides.
Because awesome.
I think that structure is run out.
Awesome.
Cool.
Thank you for your efforts here and showing it off.
I'm always about bragging and showing off. That's good.
I did have another kind of discussion follow-up question. I think the package naming, I think Neil just put something in there with the idea that you're going to have a discussion around that. One of my thoughts here was there's been some confusion about what we're calling Aries Mobile Agent, React Native, and what's bifold and et cetera. I was wondering if it makes sense to have the package itself or this data management tool, which is your actual interface with AFJ, be the Aries Mobile Agent, React Native, and we bundle it. So this is the easy get set up to use SSI functionality in 5 minutes or less with this package. And then we can actually have the sample app be the bifold app, Aries bifold. And then that's the actual and better distinction. That's one idea. I'm curious if there's other ideas of
yeah.
You would want to name this.
I was wondering what the idea is of the package we have right now, because I think it, how is it called? Components or something with components? Mm-hmm. Aries components. So do we want to put like also UI components and other kind of stuff there, or data components, or is this just Redux, just state management? Because then
That's a good question.
Confused about that.
So this is Nathan. Typically, the way we've named Ares components, it's to just tell people which project they should be participating or paying attention to. If something's called an agent, we usually consider that an application, not a framework. So you'll notice we have kind of a library layer that's underlying components. Then we have the framework layer, which is like something that runs as a server, but you're meant to put your own controllers and logic into it to make it work to do something. And then we have agents, whether they be cloud agents or mobile agents. And those may have extensions and abilities to make them fit for a particular use case, but they're usually something you could install or start as a service.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess to help address what we name this specific package, going back to your question, Kareem, of what it actually is in it, from my point of view, I think we could separate out like the packages of like, this is for the UI components, this is for the data. That seems like a little preemptive, I guess. So I would lean towards, we can put in UI components and stuff in the same package. But
all the building blocks in one package for two.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. It was just because we were talking about components in the sense of UI components and data.
Yeah.
One little thing I forgot to mention if we are done with this, otherwise I will postpone it a bit. It is state mentioned. Well, Timo mentioned, which was a good thing, if we're going to go work on other slices, is to also export everything on its own. So then we don't have a function where you throw in your agent and you get your store. That is, but also export like every thunk, every slice, so people can, you know, compose their own.
If they want to, is the idea there?
If they want to, yeah, if they want to, but there will definitely be the convenient plug and play functions that make it super easy. Yeah.
Agreed. Awesome. May want to do some more mulling on the naming there then.
I like the naming Dima put in the chat, like there. Ares mobile framework we have made it.
Yeah. And then I think that would conform with your
just to know what we're doing on the Xamarin side here. Xamarin side, we're not building a specific application from the code base. We expect you'd have to configure it and add some things and then release your own.
Yep.
So I think saying that the mobile agent isn't the final application and there's still some configuration and build steps to get to a final application is still in the spirit of calling it a mobile agent, at least if we match what the Xamarin code base has done to what we're doing here with React Native.
I think that lines up with our thoughts. I think the thought process that I've had is that the app itself is something that you can clone and configure and run as you've described. But then there's also the capability to utilize these building blocks or these components to use SSI capabilities within an existing application.
Yeah, I'm not arguing against that at all. We have that same capability on the Xamarin side. What I'm saying is there's not a construct of a mobile framework right now in Ares. We have frameworks which are usable on mobile or desktop. And then we have cloud apps and mobile apps or cloud agents and mobile agents. I don't know if we want to introduce the idea of a mobile specific framework or not. That'd probably be a discussion we'd want to raise with Sam and some of the others.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, and there you also have in that sense, I wonder if it does make sense to separate out the Redux thing from the rest, because this could be, I mean, I'm testing it in Node.js right now, and it could be used in Node.js if you want. So it's not mobile specific necessarily, but yeah, if you're going to throw it in with React Native components. And...
Yeah. Do you guys use an Aries framework React Native or an Aries framework Java underneath you, or is the framework included inside this code base right now?
It utilizes Aries framework JavaScript and relies on that to do its functionality, if that's getting to your question.
Yeah, I was just going to point out if something is really reusable beyond just React Native mobile apps, maybe it should move into the framework layer.
Maybe we could more, if it's under the framework umbrella, we shouldn't just see everything as one project, but we have Aries framework JavaScript, and then you can have additions to it. Like under the Aries framework JavaScript umbrella, you have a Redux plugin or library, or I don't know what we call it, that you can utilize. Maybe there are some React Native things that you can utilize. Those only work in React Native environments, and then we can add to it, but it all fits under the Aries framework umbrella. Aries framework JavaScript umbrella.
I think that's a decent approach, especially for the Redux related pieces.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it could make sense to keep at least some of the React Native specific pieces that make sense, like UI components, I think could be something that would be good to keep within the React Native repos. But if it's something more dealing with the framework side of things, I think it could make sense to have that beyond the AFJ side of things.
Cool. Maybe as a last addition to thinking from it, I think most, if we keep it under the same repo, I think the most important thing of the name is how we're going to release it as a package. And in that case, we can just use the Aries framework scope, and then we don't need like the whole Aries framework, blah, 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 prefix for everything we create.
Mm-hmm. I think that I think that makes sense in terms of the actual app that you can clone and configure and white label. I don't think necessarily that doesn't make sense to be a package anyways. So took me a second, but I agree with your point, Kimo. cool. More discussion on that point, or should we move on to additional discussions? Sweet. Had a question on Patrick has been working on some of the generic storage mechanisms we had talked about. Timo, you had suggested some standardizing of key value pairs, and was wondering if you had further thoughts there and or could elaborate on what your thinking was. We started taking a stab at it and figured your experience could be useful in terms of how we have approached that. So figured to ask if you had any idea or thoughts there.
Maybe not initially. I don't know if it's better to standardize after we've used it in multiple applications to see what the standard common properties are.
Yep.
Um, Because how are you doing it right now? Have you created the custom record type, or where are you? How are you storing the settings?
What we were looking at is we created a custom record type that would accept a key value pair and a MIME type associated with it. And those for the record itself can just be, we started with the keys string and the value is a string, although we would want to be able to transform that potentially. But and the MIME type is a configurable as well. And the thought process there was to do a interface on top of that, which would define the default types so that you would have, these are the default types that are utilized, or the default keys that are utilized, but you have the flexibility to just store something custom as well if you need to.
And what are the things you're storing right now in those under those key value, like some general.
One of the things that we haven't actually implemented yet because we've been working on the module itself, but the intention is to store some things like some demographic information, information that name, email, photos, etc., things that we may want to be associated with the wallet and make sense to store in that environment. And then there are things that may be specific to that application. But if I have multiple devices, and we do backup and restore or do a sync between devices, having it be corresponding to the wallet makes sense.
Yeah, okay. So I think ideally for such a thing, maybe like if you could, and we don't have JSON-LD support yet in AFJ, but if you could just use JSON-LD context or types for it, then then you already have a common data model you can use. You just need to use the same types.
Interesting. I will.
Is every value, is every key value a single name? With its value is a single record, or is it you store the JSON as a string?
Been storing each individual key value as a individual record. I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to storing a JSON as a string, but the thought there is if you have more complex data types that you want to store, having them as separate records could be beneficial.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
So I think maybe for now we can just hold off to, I would just say, I think do your thing, and then maybe in a while we can look at if we can maybe standardize some of those values so that, if the apps you create and the apps we create, that they at least share some common data model. I mean, in the end, we of course would want to use something as the universal wallet spec and see if we can. I think they have a profile record defined, which defines some basic information, I think. Not sure how extensive it is, but if we can use something like that, then you're already on the way to supporting it.
That all makes sense. And you've definitely given me some food for thought. Patrick and I will take a look at the universal wallet spec and see what we can already move to there. Because if we can standardize some on already that level, then that's greater interoperability than just AFJ and React Native. So
yeah, and if you're already using JSON-LD types, then it will be the easier to go towards like a common model, because you're already using like a common structure.
Cool. That gives some good food for thought. Awesome. The last thing that I had on the prepared agenda was checking in on the shared components aspect. I know you've made efforts there in the indie VDR side of things, Timo. Curious if there's updates there or additional work is needed, or is that just slowly moving forward?
Yeah, that's nothing concrete yet. It's just like initial ideas on how we could approach it. I'm not sure, even sure like exactly how to do it, because it's fairly new and all. So yeah, more like an idea that is not moving forward at the moment.
Okay. I liked your proposal and happy to help with those efforts. So figured it would be good just to check in on where that was at. So thank you.
Yeah. I think maybe like if either of us gets around to it, I think a good first step would just be to like have set up a boilerplate or a demo where we just try to initialize the React Native project with a shared C code base and generate like that interface from TypeScript to C++, so we can completely skip the Java and the Swift side and go directly from React Native to C. And I think if we have that, then the next will be a lot more straightforward to approach.
I agree with that. Is the ledger interface that we had talked about, is that actually in a state in which we can have multiple implementations for that, or is that not in a state for that as of yet?
Not yet, but with now that we have dependency injection, the change should be copying the class, removing the implementation, making it an interface, and then using the interface everywhere. It's not ready yet, but it shouldn't be like, I think the most work will be implementing the new implementation.
Agreed. I partially asked for, since we're interested in the using it as a proxy as well, and so we may be able to tackle that aspect first, which is the smaller piece, but it is one of the aspects to that needs to happen. So cool. Awesome. That is all that I have prepped. Is there any questions for the maintainers or other points of discussion that we want to discuss in the rest of the call today? Awesome. Well, that's been a good call. Thank you for participating, and we'll give you a couple of extra minutes back to your day. And thank you for attending, and we're doing some of the good work here. So thank you.
Thank you, James.
Thanks.